From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. We count it a privilege to have you with us today. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Returning to his studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled, Christ, the Friend of Sinners. The fairly lengthy Bible reading extends from Luke 13:22 to chapter 15 and verse 7. In the first portion of what will be a two-part message, Dr. Cairns shows Christ as the true friend, who is very direct and honest with those he loves, warning them of the dangers in their lives. Before beginning the message, Dr. Cairns responds to some criticism in today's hot topic, Do We Bash Catholicism Too Much on Let the Bible Speak?
Recently, I received an email from a man who objected to what he considered unnecessarily negative comments I have made about the Church of Rome and the Pope. He went so far as to suggest that we rename the broadcast, instead of Let the Bible Speak, The Fallacies of the Catholic Church, or Why the Catholic Church Isn't Following God's Call, or Let Dr. Alan Cairns Tell You What's Wrong with the Catholic Church. He wanted to know why I would talk about the Roman Catholic Church. He suggested it may be to help Protestants to, quote, define what it means to be Protestant, not Catholic, or, quote, to offer Protestants a sense of their faith identity. My correspondent told me how in the past year he has come to know how dependent he is on God and how through Jesus Christ he is made new. Now he tries to live each day to love God and his neighbor. But with all that, he professes, my love for the Catholic faith and my newfound joy in the priests and how they live their loves. A Freudian slip, perhaps, but I'm sure he meant how they love their lives, the sacraments, the communion of saints, intercessory prayer, and my Pope. I realize the Bible says nothing explicitly on any of these matters, and that's okay for me. We can agree to disagree, but hearing your program only makes me feel further from my Protestant brothers and sisters. It makes me feel like I need to have my guard up. This does not move me closer to my goal of love. I close the quotes. First of all, I have to thank the gentleman for writing. I appreciate that. But he's laboring under a grievous misapprehension. It may not matter to him that some of the most fundamental matters in the faith he professes to love do not appear in Scripture, but it does matter to me. You see, that's the very heart of the controversy with Rome. Rome assumes the power to define doctrine that has absolutely no basis in God's Word, and is in many instances diametrically opposed to what is revealed. These are not small issues. They have to do with the great cardinal truths of the gospel. Consider this. If the Bible is right, then Rome is totally wrong, unbiblical, unchristian, on the following key issues. The finished sacrifice of Christ at Calvary. The sole mediation of Christ. Justification by faith alone, that is, the way of acceptance with God. The meaning and significance of the sacraments. The sufficiency of Scripture. The exaltation of the Bishop of Rome to be a Pope. What happens to souls after death? Rome has invented the dogma of purgatory. The merit that finally gains heaven. Rome makes it the merit of a person's own works. These are just some of the issues. They're not insignificant matters. They go to the very heart of the gospel. Now, since the Church of Rome is a dominant force in the world today, claiming over 1 billion adherents, it follows that any man who sets out to be faithful to Christ and his gospel will have to let the Bible speak against the pernicious errors of a system that is binding and blinding millions. Remember, if the Bible is right, Rome is wrong at just about every essential point of the gospel. My correspondent may say, for me, that's okay. It is not okay for me. I can bring the good news to needy souls only as I distinguish it from counterfeits that pose as the message of God for men. So, with all due deference, I'll keep on exposing and opposing the Church of Rome.
I'm gonna leave.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean very much to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. Recently, in their publication, Major Report, the American Council of Christian Churches evaluated the U.S. Faith and Order Commission 50th anniversary event of the National Council of Churches held at Oberlin College in Ohio in July of last year. for an informative look at how far the ecumenical apostasy of our day is willing to go in disregarding the authority of the Holy Scripture, you need to read this newsletter. A free copy is yours simply by requesting it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 22, reading to the end of the chapter. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Behold, there are last which shall be first,
that are first, which shall be last. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Into chapter 14, and we start at verse 15. And when one of them which sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And finally, the first 7 verses of chapter 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. Today what I want us to do is to look at a period near to the close of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. A period that takes three chapters in the Gospel of Luke. Of course, there are parallel passages, but we're concentrating on Luke's dealing with it. Three chapters, 13, 14, and 15. I said to Dr. Barrett, if he was wondering about me wandering, I have plenty of scope at least, for I have a text of three chapters long. In these chapters, there is a tremendous variety of material. As the Lord Jesus Christ goes about speaking and acting as never man did either before or since. But though there's a great variety of material, there is a common thread that runs through these chapters. As I considered them, it seemed to me that the great picture of Christ that is here set forth is Christ, the friend of sinners. Christ, the friend of sinners. We were reading in chapter 15, verse 2. We may well take that as a summary of the entire section, that the Pharisees murmured and said, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. This man receiveth sinners. Now, of course, that statement could have been made concerning the Lord Jesus at any time in his ministry. You can find evidence of it wherever he went preaching and doing miracles. But it comes into ever sharper focus in the final days of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not difficult to summarize the passage from which we have done our Bible reading, these chapters in Luke. The beginning portion shows us Christ, the friend of sinners, warning sinners. Then at the end of chapter 13, and this corresponds with another passage later in the Gospel of Luke, you have Jesus, the friend of sinners, weeping for sinners. And then finally, in the parables of Luke chapter 15, you have very especially in the one we didn't read, and I deliberately didn't read it, first for its length and second for its familiarity, the parable of the prodigal son, you have the friend of sinners welcoming sinners. Now it's very easy to give the outline, it's very easy to give an analysis. But we're going to try to cover it, and probably in less than a year. We're going to think, first of all, of the friend of sinners warning sinners. As the Lord Jesus journeyed toward Jerusalem for this last major journey of his earthly ministry, his always solemn and deep-toned words took on an even more somber aspect as he sounded forth warning upon warning in the ears of his hearers. His words were very strong. Some might have called them harsh or even hurtful at times, but they would have been wrong. You remember, the Bible tells us faithful are the wounds of a friend. It is a friend who warns when he sees one rushing, blind to his danger, to a terrible destruction. Nothing shows the Lord Jesus Christ's deep concern for precious souls as with the shadow of the cross lying across his pathway, he utters his warnings in the ears of sinners. These indeed are dark sayings, but remember, they are dark sayings from a tender heart.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.